The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, friends. This is Larry Wilson for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Money Matters. Today's episode of Money Matters is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from Kiplinger Personal Finance today. Our first article is titled, Countdown to Tax Day, April 15th. April 15th is weeks away, but it's not too soon to get started on your 2023 tax return. Thanks to technology, you can file your tax return from the comfort of your home as late as 11:59 p.m. on April 15th. But there's much to be said for early filing. If you're due a tax refund, you'll be able to deposit the money that much sooner. An important consideration now that many savings accounts are paying interest of about 5%. Filing early will also make it more difficult for identity thieves to hijack your refund. Finally, enrolled agents and certified public accountants tend to get booked up as the tax deadline nears. So it's wise to get a head start if you want to hire a professional to prepare your return. As you review your tax situation, you may want to look past 2023 as well, because an even more ominous deadline is looming. The 2017 Tax Cuts and Jobs Act is scheduled to expire on December the 31st of 2025. If Congress doesn't extend that provision in the law, the majority of taxpayers will see their taxes go up, says Erica York, senior economist for the Tax Foundation. Keep reading on for advice on steps how you can take what you can take to do now that will shield you from future tax hikes. What's new for 2023? Tax credits for electric vehicles. Thanks to the Inflation Reduction Act, you may be eligible for a tax credit of up to $7,500 if you purchased a new electric vehicle in 2023, or up to $4,000 if you bought a used EV. However, not all EVs are eligible for the credit. To qualify, the EV must have been assembled in North America, and the vehicle's battery components must have been primarily sourced in North America, too. You can find a list of qualifying EVs at afdc.energy.gov. In addition to the eligible for the credit, to be eligible for the credit, you must have a 2023 modified adjusted gross income of less than $150,000 if you're single, or $300,000 if you're married and filed jointly. Your modified adjusted gross income is your adjusted gross income with certain deductions added back. You can use your modified adjusted gross income for the year you buy your EV or the previous year, whichever is less. Price matters too. Vans, pickups, trucks, and SUVs with a manufacturer's suggested retail price of more than $80,000 are ineligible for the credit. For cars, the MSRP can't be more than $55,000, and used EVs can't be more than $25,000. The Inflation Reduction Act also includes a break for taxpayers who installed their own charging station. The law provides a tax credit of up to 30% of the cost of a home charging station, with a maximum credit of $1,000. New credits for home energy efficiency improvements. The Inflation Reduction Act has other provisions that let you claim a tax credit for 30% of the cost of eligible home improvements, up to a maximum credit of $1,200 on your 2023 return. There are, however, limits on specific types of improvements. Here's the rundown. $150 for home energy audits, $250 for an exterior door, $500 total for all exterior doors, $600 for exterior windows and skylights, central air conditioners, electric panels, and related equipment, natural gas, propane, or oil water heaters, and natural gas, propane, or oil furnaces or hot water boilers. $2,000 for electric or natural gas heat pump water heaters, electric or natural gas heat pumps, and biomass stoves and boilers. You do need to file Form IRS 5695 to get the credit, and you must claim it for the year your energy-efficient property was installed, not the year it was purchased. Didn't get around to replacing your drafty windows in 2023? Shiver no more. The $1,200 annual tax credit for home energy efficiency improvements included in the Inflation Reduction Act extends through 2032. So if you install the windows this year, you'll be able to claim the credit when you file your 2024 tax return. Better yet, the credit replaces a $500 lifetime credit, so you can spread out cost eligible for the credit by adding two new energy-efficient windows 1 year and a new door the next, for example, and claim the maximum credit each year through 2032. For eligible home improvements you make after 2024, you'll be required to provide a product identification number from the manufacturer when you claim the credit. A more generous standard deduction. Every year, the IRS adjusts tax brackets, the standard deduction, and a handful of tax provisions to account for inflation. These adjustments are designed to prevent inflation from pushing taxpayers whose real income hasn't changed into higher tax brackets. It also prevents inflation from eroding the value of credits, deductions, and exemptions. For 2023, the IRS increased the income thresholds for tax brackets by 7% from 2022, the largest adjustment in decades, says Lisa Green Lewis, a certified public accountant and tax expert for TurboTax. The adjustments to tax brackets are automatic, so they won't affect how you prepare your tax return. But if you've itemized in the past, don't assume that that will also be the case this year, because you could get a lower tax bill by claiming the standard deduction. For 2023, the standard deduction for single taxpayers is $13,850, compared with $12,950 for 2022. Married couples who file jointly are eligible for a standard deduction of $27,700, compared with $25,900 in 2022, and heads of household will be eligible to claim $20,800, which is up from $19,400 in 2022. If you're 65 or older or blind, you're also eligible for an additional standard deduction of $1,850 if you're single or file as head of household. If you're single or head of household and you are both 65 or older and blind, you're eligible for an additional deduction of $3,700. If you're married, the extra deduction of $1,500 per qualified spouse who is 65 or older or blind, or $3,000 per qualifying individual who is both 65 or older and blind. That means a 65-year-old couple can claim a standard deduction of at least $30,700, even more if one or both is blind. For that reason, the majority of seniors are better off claiming the standard deduction, especially if they've paid off their mortgage and don't have a large amount of unreimbursed medical expenses. Some younger taxpayers may still benefit from itemizing if they have a sizable mortgage, made large charitable contributions, and qualify to deduct some of their unreimbursed medical expenses. For home loans acquired after December 15th of 2017, you can deduct interest on a mortgage or mortgages of up to $750,000. For loans taken out on or before that date, you can deduct interest on mortgage debt of up to $1 million. You can also deduct up to $10,000, $5,000 if you're married and file separately, in state and local taxes. Unreimbursed medical expenses that exceed 7.5% of your adjusted gross income are deductible too. The only way to figure out whether you're better off itemizing or claiming the standard deduction is to run the numbers both ways. Which tax software programs will do for you? But tax software is only as good as the information you provide. So if you're on the threshold to itemize, make sure you've gathered all of your receipts for unreimbursed medical expenses and charitable contributions. Keep in mind, too, that there are several tax breaks available to taxpayers who don't itemize. These, quote, above-the-line deductions, which will lower your adjusted gross income, include deductible contributions to your IRA, the deduction for student loan interest, and the deduction for educators who buy school supplies for their classrooms. In addition, if you've lost money in your taxable investment accounts last year, you may be eligible for a deduction, even if you don't itemize. If you sold stocks, funds, or other investments at a loss, you must first use those losses to offset any capital gains from your investments. Short-term losses are first deducted against short-term gains, and long-term losses are deducted against long-term gains. After that, net losses of either type can be deducted against the other type of gain. If after offsetting your gains, you still have losses, you can deduct up to $3,000 against other income, such as your salary. Losses that exceed that amount can be carried over to future years. And a respite for workers who are self-employed. The number of taxpayers who work for themselves or have a side gig continues to grow. According to TurboTax, the largest provider of tax software, 8.1% of TurboTax users reported self-employment, contract, or freelance income on Form 1099-K or Form 1099-NEC on their 2022 tax returns, which was up from 6.7% in 2021. In November, the IRS announced that it will delay implementation of a provision in the 2021 American Rescue Plan that will require payment processors, such as Venmo, as well as other payment platforms, to report to the IRS whenever a user receives total payments of $600 or more a year. While the provision is designed to help the IRS track income from sole proprietors, advocates for small businesses and tax professionals have argued that the requirement will cause tax headaches for millions of self-employed and gig workers who receive payments from Venmo or other platforms. In addition, the Government Accountability Office says the IRS lacks a plan to analyze and manage the estimated 44 million forms that would be generated by the $600 reporting requirement. As a result of the delay, payment processors will be required to file a 1099-K form only for a user who received more than $20,000 in payments and had more than 200 transactions in 2023. In 2024, the reporting requirement will drop to $5,000 as part of a plan to phase in the $600 threshold. Even if you don't receive a Form 1099-K or a 1099-NEC, you're required to report all of your income to the IRS. And if you're new to the world of self-employment or side gigs, brace yourself because your taxes are about to become more complicated. Self-employed taxpayers must pay income taxes on their profits as well as a 15.3% self-employment tax for Medicare and Social Security. When you work for someone else, your employer covers half of Social Security and Medicare taxes. However, you can deduct half of the self-employment tax on your tax return. You can also deduct the cost of health insurance premiums for yourself and your family if neither you nor your spouse was eligible for employer coverage. Self-employed individuals who are on Medicare can then deduct the cost of Part B and Part D premiums, as well as the cost of supplemental Medicare or Medigap policies or a Medicare Advantage plan. If you use part of your home regularly and exclusively for your business, you can deduct a portion of your utility bills and insurance costs. Alternatively, you can use a simplified method under which you deduct $5 for every square foot that qualifies for the deduction. For example, if you have a 300-square-foot home office, the maximum size allowed for this method, you can deduct $1,500. However, depending on the size and expense of your home office, it may be worth calculating and deducting your actual cost. And don't overlook deductible business expenses. For example, if you travel for business, you can deduct the cost of transportation. If you used your car, you can calculate your actual expenses or the IRS mileage rate, which is 65.5 cents per mile for 2023. Contributing to a retirement plan can also make a big dent in your tax bill. If you didn't set up a plan before December 31st, you have until April 15th to establish a fund and fund then an SEP or SEP IRA. And a tool to prevent refund fraud. Every year, criminals use stolen Social Security numbers to file fraudulent tax returns and pocket taxpayer refunds. Victims typically don't discover the scam until they try to file their return electronically and receive a rejection notice from the IRS. Recovering a stolen refund is usually a very difficult process, and in the interim, money you may have accounted on is unavailable. As mentioned previously, filing early is one of the most effective ways to deter refund fraud. But if you want another layer of protection, consider requesting an IP PIN from the IRS, says Eric Bronicant, a certified public accountant and tax expert for Betterment, an online money management firm. An IP PIN is a six-digit number the IRS assigns to taxpayers, and it effectively works the same way as the two-factor system you may use to access your bank account and other sensitive accounts. Once you've been assigned an IP PIN, the IRS will accept a tax return in your name only if it includes the IP PIN and other identifying information. In the past, the IRS assigned IP PINs only to taxpayers who had been victims of ID theft. But in the past couple of years, they have made the tool available to anyone who wants one, Bronicant says. To register for an IP PIN, you can go to irs.gov. You'll need to undergo an identity verification process then to obtain your IP PIN. Once you've received an IP PIN, it's important to hold on to it, because if you file a tax return with a missing or incorrect IP PIN, the IRS will reject it. An IP PIN is good for one calendar year, and a new one will be generated each year for your account. If the IRS determines that you've been a victim of tax-related identity theft, it may issue you an IP PIN even if you don't request one. And last-minute tax savers. For the most part, the IRS operates on a calendar year basis. It's too late, for example, to make deductible charitable contributions for 2023. Only donations made by December 31 qualify. But there are some exceptions that, along with reducing your 23 tax bill could improve your retirement security and lower your costs for health care. You can contribute to a retirement account. If you're not enrolled in a workplace retirement account, you can deduct a contribution to an IRA of up to $6,500 or $7,500 if you were 50 or older for 2023. You have until April 15th of 2024 to make your 2023 contribution. Contributions to a traditional IRA will reduce your adjusted gross income on a dollar-for-dollar basis, which could also make you eligible for other tax breaks tied to your AGI. Workers who have a company retirement plan but earn less than a certain amount may qualify to deduct all or part of their IRA contributions. For 2023, this deduction phases out for single taxpayers with an adjusted gross income of between $73,000 and $83,000, and for married couples who file jointly with an adjusted gross income of between $116,000 and $136,000. If one spouse is covered by a workplace plan but the other is not, the spouse who isn't covered can deduct the maximum contribution as long as the couple's joint AGI, or adjusted gross income, doesn't exceed $218,000. A partial deduction is available if the couple's AGI is between $218,000 and $228,000. If you work for yourself in 2023 or had a side gig, you may be able to sock away even more money and significantly lower your tax bill. You have until April 15th or October 15th if you file an extension to set up and contribute to a SEP IRA, a retirement plan designed for self-employed workers, small businesses, and sole proprietors. For 2023, you can deduct contributions of up to 20% of net self-employment income up to a maximum of $66,000. You also have until April 15th to contribute to a Roth IRA for 2023. Contributions to a Roth are after tax, so they won't lower your tax bill. But if you're 59 and a half or older and have owned your Roth for at least 5 years, withdrawals are tax-free. Contributing to a Roth will also protect your savings from future tax hikes. Here, too, there are income limits. For 2023, single taxpayers with modified adjusted gross income of $138,000 or less can contribute the full amount. Those with income between $138,000 and $153,000 can make a partial contribution. Married couples who file jointly can make the full contribution if they're modified adjusted gross income is $218,000 or less, and those with a modified adjusted gross income between $218,000 and $228,000 can make a partial contribution. In the past, you could make only pre-tax contributions to a SEP, but legislation enacted in late 2022 now allows SEP providers to offer a Roth option. However, because this change is relatively new, you may have a hard time finding a provider who has started to offer a Roth SEP. When considering whether to invest in a deductible IRA or a Roth, look at your time horizon, says Lowell Smith, co-founder of IRA Logic, a wealth management firm. If you're still years away from retirement, the Roth may be the better option because you'll enjoy years of tax-free growth, he says. If you plan to retire within 10 years, you may want to opt for the deductible IRA. And put funds aside for health care costs. You have until April 15th to set up and fund a health savings account for 2023. To qualify, you must have had an HSA-eligible insurance policy in 2023 that started no later than December 1. The policy must have had a deductible of at least $1,500 for individual coverage or $3,000 for family coverage. You can contribute for up to $3,850 to a 2023 HSA if you had single coverage, or $7,750 if you had family coverage. And you can contribute an additional $1,000 if you were 55 or older in 2023. Contributions reduce your adjusted gross income, and the money in your account will grow tax-free, and withdrawals to pay for medical expenses are also tax-free. And as we wrap up the episode today, we will finish with an article from Kiplinger Personal Finance, Household Net Worth Surges. Despite the disruptions from the coronavirus caused, Americans grew wealthier during the pandemic. Even after adjusting for inflation, the median net worth for American families leaped by 37% to $192,900 between 2019 and 2022, according to the Federal Reserve's recently released survey of consumer finances, which the central bank conducts every 3 years. That's the largest three-year increase since the Fed began fielding the modern version of the survey. And net worth by age group? A table below is listed, which actually shows that if you're younger than 35, your median net worth increased by 143% from 2019 to 2022. Those ages 35 to 44, a 28% increase. 45 to 54, a 27% increase. If you're in the 55 to 64% category, 64 age category, your median net worth increased by 48%. And if you're 65 to 74, 33%. And if you're in the category of 75 or older, your median net worth only increased by 14%. In 1989, overall improvements in economic performance, including positive trends in the housing and stock markets that exceeded high inflation, contributed to those gains. And we're out of time for today's episode of Money Matters. Thank you for joining us, and be sure to listen again. And until next time, this is Larry Wilson on behalf of the North Carolina Reading Service. Today's episode of Money Matters is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving our community since 1974. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Money Matters is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please give us a call, 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.